An eclectic weekend of music in Northwest Arkansas includes an all-star lineup of Afro-Cuban jazz players at Walton Arts Center for two shows tomorrow night. Headlining the concert is Jane Bunnett, Canadian-born saxophonist. Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF Shades of Jazz, talked with her earlier this week.
Well, I'm so excited that you're going to be performing for the first time, to my knowledge, in Arkansas, and with an extraordinary group. You'll be with pianist Hilario Duran and and cunguero and percussionist Candido Camero. And this is an interesting configuration and one that is not unfamiliar to you. But before we get into that, I want to just talk a little bit about your history. You were born and educated in Toronto and studied classical music, classical piano early on.
Yes.
But I understand that because of tendonitis, you had to switch to woodwinds. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of, when I got about 16, 17, I kind of got serious about the piano, and I went at it with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and I started to prepare for my grade 10 piano examination. I went at it a little too hard, and I ended up developing tendonitis. And with that tendonitis came what was told I needed to have a period of rest and not play for a while. So what happened was I went off to San Francisco with my cousin for, I guess it was about a month or so, kicked around, you know, that area, Santa Cruz and all, you know, up and down the coast. And I had, of course, heard jazz. There was jazz records in my family, and my big brother had, you know, Monk, and they had, you know, great, pretty eclectic record collection, and I would, you know, take out records now and then. But I wasn't, like, you know, fully immersed in the idiom till I took that trip. And on that trip, I went to Keystone Corners, and Mingus was playing with his group. I had heard Mingus in Toronto. So that's what, when I saw he was playing there, I wanted to go see him again. So I went the first night, and then I went back the second night. I went every single night that he was playing.
And who was in the band back then?
Actually, well, in the band was Jack Walrus, Don Fullen, Danny Richmond, of course, George Adams. Oh, you know, and Phineas Newborn Jr. was opening up every night.
Oh, my God.
So it was really something. Having studied piano and seen just the caliber, you know, the musicianship on the stage, I was sure that they were all classically trained musicians. When I returned from that trip, I was really determined to wanting to play jazz. I did finish up, I did get my grade 10, I did go back, but after a few months of, you know, finally getting my grade 10, I then decided that I wanted to play jazz. At that point, I was playing a little bit of piano and a little bit of flute. I had borrowed a saxophone. I couldn't really play, but I borrowed an alto sax, and I think I played a number on that, too. I guess I had a lot of nerve. Anyhow, yeah, so I that's how I proceeded there.
I wanted to ask you if you could trace your interest in Afro-Cuban music.
My first trip to Cuba was 1982. It was unbelievable, the music, you know. It was just like, holy smokes. We went to Santiago, and there was music everywhere. And then came home, and in 3 weeks, we headed off to Havana, which was like going into Manhattan, you know. It was just like, whoa, the condensed music scene there.
Right.
And so that was amazing. And then we continued. We kept going. And then about 1983, I guess it was, we started to seriously think about making a recording. It took a long, long time before we got from there to making the recording. And when we did make that recording, we brought the group, every Baldwin musicians on the recording, to Canada to perform. And people, there was not the world music scene like there is now in Canada. Our friends, our musical friends that were playing jazz, and that's what we had been pretty much doing up until that point, thought we were pretty crazy. Like, when they heard that music, they did not get it. It was just like, what is this? What is this music? It was just weird to them.
That that recording had an extraordinary lineup of musicians, as
sure I recall. Sure did. Are you talking about Spirits of Havana?
Yeah.
Well, on that one, the very, very first one was total Cuban. We had Yoruban Dabo, which was a group of dock workers that performed the Afro-Cuban folkloric music, rumba, and all of that. And they worked with Mercedes Valdez. And then we had Guillermo Barreto, who was Mercedes' husband, and he was a jazz guy. He knew the Afro-Cuban, but he specialized in jazz. He was crazy for Philly Joe Jones and but Max Roach and Dizzy, and he really, really knew the music and had backed Sarah Vaughan and Nat King Cole and crossed a lot of racial barriers at that time in Cuba because, you know, the place was, you know, very racist. You know, the record did make a bit of hayway here in Canada, but when we got to Paris, I gave that record out to a few people, and talk about a calling card. All of a sudden, like, the French, they just went crazy for that record. I was getting airplay. I was getting some of the critics, you know, were writing about it, saying, Paris was a mecca for world music. So many of the groups, you know, crossing, going through Europe, African groups from China, would all perform in Paris. It was, you know, we did not have a scene like that in Canada. And so all of a sudden, I found myself in quite a fantastic response. My love is still jazz. It really is. I can't imagine what would have happened if Coltrane had gone to Cuba. That would have really been something unbelievable, you know?
Let's talk about Hilario Duran and Candido Cabrera.
Yeah.
You're going to be touring with, and you've worked a lot with Hilario, who is just an extraordinary Cuban pianist born in the early 50s. He emigrated to Toronto in the late 90s. He's been named one of the 10 most influential Hispanic Canadians. I'm not sure what that means, but...
Yeah. And, pretty important, because there's a lot of them here now.
Yeah, and I love this quote. Hilario Duran is an unparalleled pianist as well as being a composer and arranger of the First Order, one of the greatest Cuban pianists of the 20th century from no other than Chucho Valdez. So.
Yeah. We met Hilario for that first recording in 1990. We said we need a piano player who really loves the Afro-Cuban music like we do, but has great... jazz sensibilities, and can really blend those the Afro-Cuban and jazz. But Hilario, you know, we were blown away by how great he was when we played with him. And shortly after that, everybody came to Toronto to kind of promote the CD, the recording at a festival. And then we went back to Cuba and we did another project with Hilario and. And then we brought him back to Toronto with us to sort of perform the music that we just recorded. And then we produced a couple of CDs of his own for Just in Time Records. And then we actually got him a teaching position at Humber College. Then he brought his daughter, and then he applied for Canadian residency. And the rest is history. He's a professor here now, and he's just a very highly respected artist and musician on the scene here.
Oh, he's won
very busy.
Several Juno Awards I know he's won, and he was Grammy nominated for, I think, his Latin big band album.
Yes.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, Hilario was the musical director for Arturo Sandoval, right?
Right. He was for a good 10, 12 years.
Amazing.
Piano player and arranger, and then... He later led his own group called Perspectiva.
Thank you. It's interesting to me how a lot of these musicians of a certain age, those born in the early to mid-50s, somehow the arrow seems to point back to Dizzy, and there's always a connection.
Well, you know what? I mean, Dizzy just had such a profound effect on Cuban music.
Let's talk a little bit about Candido. And
there's another genius. Yeah. Well, he's really, I mean, he's just, you know, you cannot believe the honor to for us. I think he's 93. Am I right on his age there?
I want to say 92.
Okay. So, I mean, he is just a phenomenal musician and a great showman. He just knows what to do, and he's just elegant, and he's just brilliant. I mean, he was the first one to really go to three congas, and most people were just focusing on one. And I asked him, you know, how did you develop in from going from two to three? And he said, because I can. That just made me laugh. He's so funny. And, like, talk about a who's who of people that he has worked with. It's just unbelievable.
Duke Ellington, Charlie Parker.
Everybody. One night I sat up and I just kept firing piano players. I was trying to figure out, stump him with a piano player that he hadn't worked with. Every single piano player he'd worked with.
I think I saw a quote somewhere where he's recorded on over 1,000 recordings.
Oh, sure. And he's funny. You know, I think people will just be so blown away when they see him that they've never seen him perform.
Jane, I cannot thank you enough for just being so open and enthusiastic.
Well, thanks. Thanks for your great questions, and can't wait to get to your neck of the woods. See you soon at the Pronto.
Jane Bunnett will perform twice Friday night at Walton Arts Center at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. She talked to Robert Ginsberg, host of KUAF Shades of Jazz, earlier this week. You can hear Shades of Jazz each Friday and Saturday night, beginning at 10.